Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
So Genesis chapter 12, can we dive into the word? The Bible says this. The Lord had said to Abram, go. Everyone say go. Come on, hey, the louder you are, the faster I preach. Ready? The Lord said go. Sounds like you really want to get me out of here. Okay, all right. That's my fault. Okay. Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. Anybody want to have that kind of life? Make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. That sounds ruthless, but I'll take that too. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Who knows that the plan of God is not limited to a young man or a young woman, that God can do something in your life right now. It doesn't matter how old you are, God has more for your life. When he set out from Haran, everyone say set out. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. As I was preparing for this weekend, I really felt a prophetic message for this house. God is doing some special things in King's Church. This is incredible. We look around, and what God is doing here is honestly amazing. I was just at your Pimpama campus. I mean, those guys are really Christian. 8:30 a.m. in church. I'm like, brother, we would never do that. I was like, is the Holy Spirit even up right now? But they were there worshiping. But we all know that this is the better looking service because you guys had time to get ready, get your makeup on, get the outfit checked. I get it. And so, you know, I really sense as we were preparing that God wants to take this church to the next level. There is a new season that God is walking you into. There are new leaders amongst you that are rising up, and God is raising up leaders. God is raising up people. God is doing something in this church, not just here at Reedy, but out there at Pimpama. Pimpama, I just like saying that. Pimpama, is it St. George? Come on, St. George. And where's the other 400 campuses? I don't know. Where? Logan. Who would have thought that God would use Logan as well? But there you go, he's doing it too. I mean, God is doing something so great in this church. And I want to preach from the topic this morning. We can't stay here. There's going to come a point where this church outgrows this building. There's going to come a point where your campuses and your locations outgrow the buildings that they're in. There's going to come a point where God does something so far beyond your wildest dream, anything that you can dream or imagine. God wants to do something great in your life, in this church, but I also say in your life personally. Some of us are business owners. Some of us work in corporate. Some of us work in the trades. Some of us work in education. We work in a number of different spheres. God wants to take you to the next level in your faith, in your personal life. Come on, anybody want to move forward into the plan and the destiny? Come on, just the front row. Come on, anyone else want to live that life that God has called them to live? We can't stay here. We need to step out in the plan and the purpose that God has for us. Time is fleeting, so I'm going to hurry up. You know, the issue is, it's our comfort zones. It's being comfortable. This is a very comfortable chair. We like to get comfortable. We are wired to comfort. You know, back in the day, there used to be something just in your car called a window. Now we have power windows. Who remembers the days of these things? Come on, anyone? Can you just give me a show of hand? Who remembers the days where you didn't need to go to the gym? You didn't need to pay $20 a week to go to the gym. No, just getting in and out of the car was a workout. You know what I'm saying? It was an effort. And you would be winding for 2 hours and only move the window 3 centimeters. It was power steering. We now have power steering. I remember learning to drive manual on an old church bus. The steering, like, broke my wrists. It was horrible. It was bad. But over time, we've now acclimatized ourselves to power windows. We've now acclimated ourselves to power steering. We're getting used to comfort. See, I grew up in something called a brown house. What do I mean by that? It's brown people in the house, okay? I grew up as a Sri Lankan. For those of you who don't know, I'm from Sri Lanka. That's my culture, that's my people. And when I was younger, we were never allowed to leave electronic devices on during the night. That was just a no-go. If you had your phone on charge, you had to flick it off. Actually, there was no mobile phones back there. I lied. There was just no power allowed to be on. So when we'd go to sleep, you'd go to bed, and it doesn't matter how cold it was freezing. Then I married my Cadbury dream, and she introduced me to something called an electric blanket. People from the tropics do not know anything about electric blankets, but electric blankets are incredible. You put them on, and I'm an absolute extremist. I would put it right up to the highest temperature. I have no time limit on it. I wrap myself in that thing, and I wake up just, I've lost 75 kilos of water. I feel skinny as, and I my tongue feels like a biscuit. You can just snap that thing off. You are just, all the water has gone for your body, but I've just had the warmest sleep. It was unbelievable. See, we've now acclimatized to comfort. We are getting used to comfort. And so my concern is that comfort has made its way into the church. We get so comfortable with what we want out of, we come to church going, oh, I just hope they sing the songs that I like today. Oh, the preacher better preach a message that's relevant to me. And we want our preachers to preach comfortable messages. We want our worship to be comfortable. I mean, we pick and choose what church we go to based on the coffee bean that they serve in the foyer. Are you kidding me right now? If it's not Brazilian coffee beans, I'm out. I'm like, bro, who are you that I need to import from Brazil coffee beans just so you're happy? We want to have a church that has a giant inflatable balloon out the front of it so our kids can jump around. And if there's no oversized balloon, I'm out. I'm like, what have we, we've grown so, and so people literally pick and choose what church they go to. They pick and choose their journey of faith based on what is comfortable. Yet over and over in Scripture, the story of Scripture is not about comfort at all. In fact, the message of the world is comfort. The message of the Word, the message of the kingdom is commitment. The message of the commitment of the kingdom is cost. It's about laying your life down. It's about following Jesus, not about getting comfortable, but stepping out of your comfort zone. Over and over again in the Bible, we see David stepping out of his comfort zone of a shepherd boy into the calling of a giant slayer. Moses steps out of the comfort zone of a shepherd into the calling of a leader. Paul steps out of the comfort zone of a persecutor and into the comfort, into the calling of a preacher. Peter steps out of the comfort zone of the boat into the calling of the waves. Over and over again, God calls people out of their comfort zone, yet we like to stay so comfortable in church. We want to have our comfy faith with our comfy speaker and our comfy songs and our comfy chair that no one else is allowed to sit in. And comfort has now made its way into the church where God is saying, I don't know about you. I don't want to live a mundane faith. I don't want to live a mediocre faith. I want to live out everything that God has for me. I want to live a water-walking faith, a ground-taking faith. Come on, a wall-shaking faith. I want to live a faith that makes a difference in our world today. So we can't stay in our comfort zone. We need to step out in the things that God has for us. Abram is in that position. He's been brought into the comfort zone of Haran. He's lived this life. He's doing quite well. Actually, if you look at scholars, he was quite a wealthy man. And so he's living this comfortable life. And God says, leave your father's household. Leave what you know. Leave the place that you grew up. Leave all of that to step out into the calling that I have for you. I just sense that what God wants to do in your life today is to take you out of your comfort zone. You can't stay where you are right now. There is too much calling on your life. There is too much purpose on your life. Come on, there's too much destiny on your life. God has got too much for you to stay where you are. So can we look at this life? Can we look at Abram's life and take a couple messages from that? Can we do that this morning? Is that okay? Is everyone alive? You're right, I got 10 minutes. Yeah, right, bro. I'm starting now. Can I start now? I'm gonna go quick, okay. Verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country. Everyone say go. Come on, shout it out. The louder you are, the quicker I go. Everyone say go. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Number one, here's the first thing we need to do to step out into the calling that God has for us. Number one, we need to learn how to leave. Leave. Everyone say leave. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say leave. Not now. Not now. Don't leave here. Stay in church. I'm not saying leave your church. I'm not saying leave your family. I'm not saying leave your job. But we need to learn how to leave the things that keep us comfortable. See, if we're honest, some of us have grown comfortable with our sin. We've grown comfortable with addictions. All right, this you guys don't want to play. Okay, I get it. It's a hard message to hear so early in the morning. We're going to try this side. Can we get real today? We get comfortable with our depression. We get comfortable with anxiety. We get comfortable with addictions to things that are not of God. We get comfortable with things that keep us held back. And God is saying, come on, I've got a purpose for you. I have a destiny for you. You need to leave those things that are keeping you comfortable. You need to leave them behind. Everyone say, leave. You got to learn how to leave. You know, down in New South Wales, there's a place called the Central Coast. And my dad, he had this idea one time where he wanted to get the family together, take us out on the water and have lunch on the water. Now, something you need to understand about Sri Lankan people is that our spiritual gift is not swimming. Tell me one Sri Lankan you've ever seen at the Olympics in a pool. No siree. No. Actually, you know what? Let's be honest. Tell me one Sri Lankan you've ever seen at the Olympics in general, right? I mean, we're not really designed for athletics. Body's more designed for accounting. You know what I'm saying? That's more our spiritual gifts. So that's our lane. I accept that. I'm okay with that. So we're out and my dad goes, we need to get on the water. I said, Dad, this is not a good idea. Like, we're not cut out for this kind of life. This is a bit beyond us. He goes, No. We must go on the river. We must eat together. Have a great time. On the water. Just floating, talking, eating. Fantastic, right? Like, okay, all right. So my dad convinces me we're going, and so we go. And so while we're out there, it's my dad, my mom, myself, my brother, and our lifesaver, my wife. The only one who's capable of swimming beyond one or two strokes. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is literally our onboard. I mean, if we had red and yellow flags, I'd put it right on either side of the boat. We had to stay in there at all times. So we're out on this boat, and we kind of get going, and as we're going, we're just getting into conversation and everyone's talking, kind of lose track of where we're heading. Apparently, you're meant to stay kind of on a certain side of what they call a boy, not a male or female kind of, not gender boy. I'm talking about something floating in the water called a boy. I don't know why you'd call it a boy, but hey, there you go. And so we got to stay on this one side. And so we kind of get going, and as we get going, the boat keeps rolling or keeps moving forward, but it starts to significantly slow down. As it's slowing down, now if you don't believe me, this is a 100% real story. Babe, give me a thumbs up. Is this not true? You were there, right? We are literally slowing down and we're thinking, what is going on? At this point, I'm quite an emotional, dramatic person. I'm just thinking, my whole family's about to die right here, right now. I don't know what's happening. We are stuck in the middle of the water. Have we lost like oil, petrol in the engine? Like, there's no way that we can swim back. I'm looking for sharks. I'm stressing out. And so the boat slows down to the point where it's almost stopping. And Katie looks out, our aquatic navigator and our marine specialist. And she looks out and goes, hey, we're on a sandbank. Now, I have no idea what a sandbank is. Apparently, a sandbank is a bank of sand in the middle of the water. And so we're out there and the engine has now got kind of caught in the sand. So what we need to do is we need to lift up the boat a little bit, get it back in the water and get the water going. And so the plan was someone has to get out of the boat and lift up the boat and kind of give it a bit of a push. And so I, as the leader of the family, said, Dad, this was your idea. You're out of the boat. And so my dad, he jumps out of the boat and he's standing out there and he kind of lifts this boat. And as he lifts the boat, he starts to push the boat forward. And he's now walking with the boat, trying to get the boat moving. I've now taken captain status. I'm standing at the engine. I'm just telling people what to do. I said, Dad, come on, keep lifting, keep pushing. You can do this. I believe in you, Dad. We can't stay here. There is more in your life. And so Dad is trying to push this boat. And so as we're pushing the boat starts to get faster. We start to get out of the sand. This is awesome. We're starting to move. As we start to move, the boat starts to really pick up pace. My dad is now not walking by the side of the boat. He's now kind of jogging. I've never seen my dad run in my life. He's this Sri Lankan man, prideful Sri Lankan man, is like jogging right next to this boat. The boat starts to get faster and he slips over. As he slips over, he's now hanging onto the boat. Okay, can I tell you, I've watched this man who has raised me cling onto the side of a boat, screaming for his life, hanging on this boat. And so my dad starts yelling at me. He said, Jason, stop the boat. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with boats, boats don't have brakes. You can't just stop a boat. You just need to ride this thing out. And I'm saying, Dad, I can't stop the boat. He's getting angrier. You better stop the boat. And I'm like, Dad, I can't stop the boat. He's like, stop the boat right now. I'm like, Dad, I'm trying. I'm slowing it down. We can't stop it. He's like, stop the boat now. And he's like, this is what you've always done. You never liked school. You never liked us. You never did your homework. I'm like, what has this got to do anything? He's like, you always come up late. I'm like, Dad, sorry, I don't know. So he's yelling at me. I'm yelling back at him. And then my mom, oh my gosh, the worst. She's just sitting in the corner and she said, Prashant, just get in the boat. I'm like, Mom, we are trying to do that. This is the whole thing. And the worst part about it, Katie just sat in the corner and laughed at us the whole time. Just thought, oh, ha, yes, yes, feel the pain of this. So just kind of moving along. Dad slips and we realize we're still on the sandbank. I said, Dad, just let go of the boat. You're on the sandbank. And he's like, you let go of the boat. I'm like, Dad, just let go. Trust me, just let go of the boat. You're on the sandbank. And he's yelling back at me. I'm like, Dad, let go. He's like, no, I can't. I'm holding on. I said, just let go. He's like, no. I was like, let it go, let it go. I was just, whatever I could, I was trying to help him. And he didn't let go. And eventually we pull him in. We get him in. It's the most awkward ride back I've ever had in my life. Never heard Sri Lankan so quiet in my life. As we pull him in, I just had this thought. I realized something. You'll never know if you can stand until you let go of what you know. You'll never know if you can stand in the calling that God has for you. You'll never know if you can stand in the promises that God has for you until you let go of the thing that's comfortable. I mean, the boat was comfortable for my dad. He was holding on for dear life. He was hanging on, trying to just ride this thing out. But when you let go of what's comfortable, you realize you can stand. I came to tell you, God is faithful. God is able. If He spoke it, you can stand on it. If God's put something in your heart, you can stand on the things of God. You just need to learn to let go of the things that are holding you back. Can someone say amen to that? Number one, we need to learn how to leave. Number two, the Bible says this in verse 1. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. To the land I will show you. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to learn how to follow. Everyone say follow. We have all these books on leadership. We have all these podcasts on leadership. We have all these ways of what it needs to be a Christian. Can I tell you something? Before we learn how to lead people, we need to learn how to follow Jesus. That's it. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a leader, whether you're a volunteer, we've lost. We know the art of leadership, but have we lost the art of followership? We need to learn how to follow. Abraham was told, I'm just going to show you as you go. Can I be honest with you? This verse frustrates me. Like, it makes me so mad. Because this is what always happens. It's like God says, I got this great plan for your life. I'm just going to show you as you go. I don't know about you, but I want the map. Like, I want the instruction manual. I want to know what my next step is. I want to know where we're heading. I need to know what to wear. What clothes do I need to wear to get to where we're going? But God just goes, hey, if you just leave what you know, I'm just going to show you on the way. No instructions, no manual, no podcast, no magazine, no book that was written, no New York bestseller. Like, there is no instruction. God just says, go and I will show you. Yeah. See, what I've learned about God is God doesn't give you a manual. He gives you Emmanuel. Yeah. He actually gives you His presence. He doesn't give you the plan. He gives you His presence. And I don't know about you, I would much rather have God's presence with me than know exactly where I'm going. Let me illustrate this for you. When Katie and I, when we first got married, we got married in a place called Fiji. Beautiful. It was amazing. Bulla Vanaka. Any Fijians in the house? No, we're on the Gold Coast. That's fine. And so we get married in Fiji. And one of the things that we wanted to do for our honeymoon was go jet skiing. So we do this island tour. And while we're doing this island hopping tour, we get there. And I had in my mind imagined this to be this romantic trip. I was like, this is my wife. We've just gotten married. I'm going to be on my jet ski, like Top Gun kind of vibes, you know, like aviators on. lack of hair blowing in the wind. Like, I'm just thinking, like, this is, to be honest, the picture I had was more Titanic. Just me being Rose. Katie just lovingly, just hanging on, holding onto my side, onto my hips. Hips. Like, who am I, Shakira or something? I don't know, just holding onto my hips. And we're just like kind of cruising through this Fijian sunset. That's what I imagined it to be. We got on our jet ski and I'm sitting there ready. Katie gets right behind me. We get going. Our jet skis move quickly. As we're flying through, what I thought would be a Titanic moment, Jack and Rose hanging at the front of Titanic, just holding onto each other, was not exactly what it was like. She grabbed my love handles, man. And she twisted those things and she screamed almost the whole way, slow down, slow down, slow down. And she was squeezing my hips. Oh my gosh, the pain was out of control. Just squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. And I just said, babe, I can't do this anymore. This is our first argument. This is horrible. It's like we're only 3 days into this thing. And so I then call over the instructor and the instructor comes over. This Fijian guy, big Fijian guy, he comes over with his jet ski. He lines right up and we're sitting there and I'm like, hey man, look, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but I just can't deal with this. Like, this is just too, I mean, she's pinching me, bro. It hurts. I want to go. I'm trying to keep up with the group, but she wants me to slow down. I don't know what's going on. And so I just said, you need to take her. Just get her off my jet ski onto yours, bro. I just can't deal with this. This needs to stop. And so I watched my wife get off my jet ski onto his jet ski, and I watched them ride off in the sunset. And I just went, hang on, this is not how it's meant to go. This is not what it's meant to be. I mean, I saw Katie holding on just like, oh, this is just so great. I'm like, they were flying at so fast, and she was just so happy and so confident. And I was like, what is going on? What about me? It isn't fair. I just thought, what is happening right now? And I realized we're always more comfortable, not about where we're going, but who we're going with. Can I tell you something? It's not about where you're going. It's actually about who you're going with. When God's presence goes with you, when His presence goes before you, when His presence surrounds you, if you can learn how to be close to Jesus, spend time with Him, read your word, pray, when we can follow Him and get close to Him, that is the key to the journey. It's not about where I'm going, but it's about who I'm going with. And then finally, number one, we have to leave. Number two, we have to follow. But number three, we have to move. Everyone say move. If I can ask Spirit Fingers Chris to come and join me up here, that'd be awesome. Team, rest of the team, you guys can come. Hey, is this helping anyone today? Is it? Beautiful. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, we can't stay here. Turn to your neighbor, turn to your second choice and say, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. Have you guys gone quiet because you want me to keep going? Is that what's happening? Come on, someone say, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. Verse 5 in Genesis 12, the Bible says this, he took his wife Sarai, this is Abram, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out. Can someone say set out? I swear someone said shut up just then. Did anyone hear that? Was that just me? I don't want to just act like that just didn't happen. That someone did that? Come on, someone say set out. Set out. Get out. Set out. So cute. Can I say I love that we got kids in this church. I love a multi-generational church, man. Every age, serving together, working together. Is that not the picture of the kingdom? Is it? I love it. I love it. This just makes me miss home. Hey, babe, don't you reckon, Katie? Feels like home. Love it. I put you on the spot there. Really had no choice but to say yes. But thank you. Thank you for your yes. They set out. They got up and they moved. See, sometimes I think that's the hard part. if you look at Abram's life, when he was a child, under his father, Terah, they lived in this place called Ur of the Chaldeans. And they were pagans. They were idolaters. They would sell idols. They were ungodly people. And so they moved from Ur of the Chaldeans to a place called Haran. And while they're in Haran, the Bible says in Genesis 11:31, the Bible says they settled there. Everyone say settled. They settled there. So what's interesting is that God actually called Terah, the father, to move into Canaan. But on the way to Canaan, they settled there. Here's just a little side note. If God called you to do something and you're not faithful with it, He'll ask someone else to do it. Either way, God's calling and God's plan and God's purpose will always come to pass. It will always come to fruition. You just got to work out, do I want to be a part of it or not? And so they settle in Haran, but they're meant to be on their way to Canaan. And if we were to look at these three stations in our life, this is kind of what life looks like. We go from this ungodly place, a place outside of relationship with Jesus, where we're not following Him. And we go from here to a place of being with God and being in Him and having a relationship with Him. Can I say that to here is actually the easy part. Going from godless to a life with God, it's easy because we know that without Him, we're nothing. We know that without His plan, we're nothing. Without His love, we're nothing. So this is easy. This is the problem. The problem is going from a place of relationship with God into a place of purpose with God. This is the hard part, because in here, we're comfortable. Oh, life is good. Church is good. The vibe is great. The songs are awesome. I mean, the team is good. Chris is playing and the Lord's just filling your life. I mean, it's easy here, but God is saying, I'm telling you to get out of what's comfortable and live a life of faith. Come on, live a life of purpose. Live a life of calling. Live a life of destiny. Live out the plan that God has. As for you, you just have to learn how to move. You got to actually set out from Haran. For some of you, God is calling you to give. For some of you, God is calling you to serve. In your own personal life, God is calling you to start the business. God is maybe calling you to start the family. God is calling you to ask that person out. Say, hey, only if they're a Christian, okay? We don't want to play games, right? I mean, God is asking you to take the next step. He's asking you to do something. I'm telling you, you need to learn how to move. You got to get up and do it. Stop going, God, I want you to use me. God, I want to send me to the nations, Lord. I want to change the world. And we're just stuck in our chair of comfort, saying, God, would you use me? God, would you move? And this is what we do. This is what we do. We go, oh, God, send me to the nations. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. My whole life is yours. He goes, go share your faith with your work colleague. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's not you, Lord. That's someone else. Come on, go and pray for that person. Your boss, he's sick. Go and pray for him. No, but Lord, I just want to wait in your presence, Lord. I just want to soak, Jesus. I just want to soak. The purpose of soaking is sending. It's so that God actually uses your life to make a difference for the kingdom in your world. And so you go, God, use me. God, send me. And then He finally breaks us down. We go, okay, yeah, cool. And this is what we do. We go, okay, God, I'll follow you. I'll go where you want me to go. All right, God, I'm ready. I'm ready now. No, you're not ready. You just moved your comfort zone. You just moved into another comfort zone. You just got a better view. I'm telling you today, God is saying, get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the thing that's holding you back. It's time to set out for Haran. It's time to serve. It's time to lead. Stop talking about being community. Some of you have been a part of this church for years, years and years and years. Go run a connect group. No, we don't want them. No, we want you. We want you. Run a connect group. Lead some people. Join the team. Be a part of it. Yes, amen. I'm talking about you need to move. Got to get up and do something about it. You know, there's this thing called muscle atrophy. Muscle atrophy happens when your muscle starts to waste away because it's not been used. So you start to lose muscle mass, start to lose strength because it's not been used. 20 years ago, I had a rugby accident. I was playing with some friends and someone tried to tackle me and I just gave them the big whoppa. Stepped them, they swung around me and their knee went right into the bottom of my spine, broke my tailbone, dislodged some discs, and now I'm still paying the price for it. But degenerating discs in my back, degenerating bones in my lumbar spine. So it's annoying. And for 20 years, particularly in the last 10 years, it's been hard. And there have been times where my back has gone. Like, and it's gone in some really bad places. I've been at the gym, like trying to just build some strength, lift up a dumbbell wrong, feel something snap on my back, I open up like a can, end up on the floor, can't move. Even to the point, I'll tell you the story another time, I got ambulance. I was probably the first person in history to get ambulance out of a Wiggles concert. The hot potatoes were too hot to handle. I'm just saying, it was bad. I was, baby, can you remember? I don't know if you can remember, you were so little. And literally on this floor, I got up and my back went and I literally crawled across the room to my wife and I ended up getting ambulance out of there and I couldn't move for 3 days. And it's funny, you can be in hospital and lying on this bed, and while you're lying on this bed, you're obviously not moving, you're not doing anything. And then eventually they kind of get you back up, they get you walking again, got to take a couple steps and walk you to the bathroom, and then they walk you down the hall, they walk you up and down some steps, they eventually let you go. But what happened was I had to teach myself again how to walk. I've been walking for years, but I had to just retrain my steps. I had to re-engage my quads. I had to re-engage my hamstrings. Sorry, I know this morning. I had to re-engage my glutes, right? I had to start to re-engage my muscles again. And just one step at a time, reteach my body how to take just one step at a time. One step at a time. Because I was laying down, my muscles weren't engaging. I wasn't using them properly. So those muscles started to degenerate. I actually think that's a picture of the church. We don't have muscle atrophy as a problem. We have faith atrophy as a problem. We've not exercised our faith muscle for a really long time. God's been speaking to us, but we've just stayed complacent. We've stayed comfortable. We've laid back. And God is saying, come on, it's time to dream again. It's time to stretch your faith again. It's time to go again. It's time to believe again. It's time to pray again. It's time to move that muscle again. It's time to have faith again. It's time to stir your faith again. It's time to get out of our comfort zone. Leave the thing that was holding us back. Follow Him. Get in His presence. Get close to Him. Don't worry about the plan. Engage with His presence. And then finally, we need to move. Got to get up. Got to take a step. One step at a time. Can I tell you, when I was in that bed, I would dread having to get up. I would dread having to get out of this bed because I knew the pain would be out of control. But I had to just, with all my might, all my will, all my power, just take that step. Leave, follow, move. Leave, follow, move. Get out of Haran. Get out of Haran. Don't settle there anymore. Don't settle for what was said about you. Don't settle for what was done to you. Don't settle for depression. Don't settle for anxiety. I know these things are real. Don't settle for the pain. Don't settle for the problem. Don't settle for the trial. Don't settle for the circumstance. Can I tell you, get up, get out, get moving, leave, follow, move. It's time to dream again. It's time to have faith again. It's time to go again. It's time to respond to the altar again. It's time to serve again. It's time to give again. It's time to lean in again. It's time to get involved again. It's time to be a part of community again. It's time to bless someone again. It's time to pray for someone again. It's time to share your faith again. It's time to go again. You can't stay here anymore. There's too much on your life. Leave, follow, move.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.